This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Woo! This was a doozy of a day, was it not? It was a doozy. It was a doozy for me. I know it was a doozy for a lot of you. Heavy. There were times over the last few hours where I thought, how in the world am I going to do a radio show with any type of enthusiasm or positivity? And you know me, I am honest with you. I try to be honest with you, mostly because it takes way too much effort and time that I don't have to pretend to be someone and something that I am not. But generally, even when things are bleak and even when life is really difficult, I find a way to spot the positives because I have to hang on to hope. If I don't have hope, without hope, I wouldn't be able to do anything that I do. Forget host a radio show. And so I was really thinking the last few hours, what in the world can I talk about that generates any kind of hope? And while there are topics in sports, there are more regurgitations of a lot of the same things that we have talked about over the past couple of weeks. And we'll give you the latest with Major League Baseball and also a couple of just weird stories from the world of sports. Weird or just the kind of eye-catching. Like, what does that say? And so there are a couple little things we'll drop in here and there. And we also have an incredible conversation with Thurl Bailey, who's a longtime NBA forward who played for Coach Jerry Sloan, who passed away last weekend, and also was with the Jazz because he works for the Utah Jazz the night that the NBA was suspended. So, and he's an incredible talker. He's also just one of those guys that whenever I speak to him, I always feel like he causes me to think and to consider. And so I'm excited to share my conversation with Thurl Bailey. We talked to him a couple of days ago. And then we'll talk to Michael Duarte from Los Angeles, who's kind of always our go-to guy for the LA sports scene. So anyway, we're going to do some sports. But obviously, like every other radio and TV host in this country, you can't possibly ignore everything else that is happening in the United States of America. And for those of you who were with us to start the work week, you know that I spent some time sharing my thoughts and my heart with you on last night's show / Monday morning. And, you know, I'll do the same because I really can't do anything else. But as I was thinking about how to find some positivity on this radio show, this idea popped into my head. So I hope you like it, and I'm excited to share it with you. I'm also excited to hear your responses. We have just now put the first 5 months of 2020 in the rearview mirror. It's June 1st. The first 5 months of this year. Actually, you could even say the last 3 months. I don't know that January was so bad. We just had no idea what was coming. January into February. In fact, being in Miami and the Super Bowl and how great that was. And even taking a few days to visit my mom in Houston late February, early March. It was such a nice break. And I remember I flew back to the New York City area and to get ready for the long spring haul on the morning of March 3rd. And boom, things just started happening very quickly, very rapidly, including me putting in an offer on a house that I have now signed the papers and have the keys. Gosh, what a spring. But it wasn't anything like what we anticipated. None of us could have dreamed this up. So as we put the first 5 months of 2020 in the rearview mirror, I refuse to believe they were all bad. And I know it's become a popular refrain on social media. Can we just get through 2020? This year sucks. And maybe it will be the worst year of our lives, regardless of where you are on the age spectrum. Maybe you'll look back on 2020 and it will be the worst you can remember. There's always the chance that will happen. But I still believe amidst all the challenges and the obstacles and the anxiety and the pain and the fear and the violence and the injustice and the murder and the angst, the wild emotions, I know there is hope. I know we can find rays of light. And I tweeted this earlier, but one thing that gives me hope in the midst of everything happening the last 3-4 days is that you are seeing all over the country people coming outside of their homes, getting together, they're cleaning up, they're trying to repair and rebuild their communities after looting, not protesting. Protesting is different than looting. But after looting and violence, they're showing up in daylight and they are offering compassion to their neighbors. They are displaying pride in their communities. And that reminds me there is always hope. What is that old cliche? You know, cliches are real for a reason. I mean, they're cliches for a reason. It's always darkest before the dawn. And as bad as the looting and violence is, there are people attempting to hang on to their property and to protect what they've worked so hard to build and preserve over the course of what has been a pandemic that has really taken a major hit on our economy. Now this, and people who have nothing to do with what's happening are still getting caught in the crossfire. And so I'm finding the hope as best I can. Police officers who are proud to walk in peaceful protest with those who are showing up in large crowds around the country. Protesters making sure that they respect police officers, not grouping all protesters together into one big cauldron, not grouping all police officers together into one big group. Seeing people individually, listening to people. And then, as I say, showing compassion amidst everything that's going on. And so I hope that you will do this with me. I'm asking you to share one positive about this year so far, because I think in doing this, we can encourage one another. Yes, we're going to talk about sports because that's what I do. I hesitate to say that's what I do best because I don't know about these last 2.5 months and whether or not that's what I do best. But I want to know what's the best thing to happen to you in 2020, because we all have something. I wrote my last rent check today. Believe it or not, I wasn't sure I'd ever be able to say that, but I wrote my last rent check today. It was a sweet milestone and it felt weird to be happy about it, but I am. I'm so happy, relieved, thankful that my next check will be for a mortgage pouring into my investment. I wrote my last rent check today, and God blessed me with this incredible house that I was never sure I was going to be able to own, because it's a difficult process to save the money and to find the right place, and there were lots of obstacles. So I'm so grateful. What's the best thing to happen to you so far in 2020? Because I think sharing it will encourage other people. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that you're with us, that you continue to listen, even though this radio show is probably nothing like what you expected. Your sports radio and TV is not what you expected over the last 2.5 months. And yet I hear from so many of you on a daily basis, almost. Some of you pop in and out and you are still working or you're going back to work. And I celebrate with you whenever you tell me that. I'm just grateful for you all, because I'm still talking. It's still a radio show, but without you, it gets a whole lot more difficult. So please find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yet again, another day of wild emotions, of sadness, of heaviness, of anger and frustration and confusion. And yet at the same time, these difficult moments, these emotional stretches in our nation's history, they always give me perspective too, and remind me to not take for granted what we have and our blessings, and to also be thankful that we're not all the same. Do I have any idea what it means to be discriminated against because of my skin color? No, I don't. I listen to friends and family members who are minorities who tell me their experiences. I think listening is one of the most important things that we can do. I recognize the irony even as I'm talking and hosting a radio show, but I tried to listen to you and I tried to listen to the people in my life. I do know what discrimination is like. Is it the same as racism? No, but I know what it's like to be treated differently for something that's completely out of my control, being a female. We don't choose our skin color. We don't, well, I mean, in some cases you can change your gender, I know, but the gender that you're born with, you don't choose that. And it's devastating, and it's frustrating, and it's infuriating to be treated differently because of something that you didn't choose, but also because of something that shouldn't matter. And so my perspective is only mine. I don't have the same perspective as a lot of other people around the United States, and I'm trying to read and listen and do as much as I can to absorb information and share with you what I see and what I hear, and also to provide a bit of a distraction and a relief, because that is honestly what sports is about, right? In many cases, sure, it's a big business, but it's also about a little bit of fun, a little bit of entertainment, a little bit of relief, a little bit of unity, which is odd to say right now in our lives, isn't it? Because it feels like we're not unified. When was the last time we were unified? And yet I don't know that we need to be all the time. As I've said to you so often, I think we're better because we're different. I think we're stronger because we're different. If we all had the same color, background, language, politics, viewpoints, not only would we never learn anything new, but life would be boring. Life is full of wondrous variety. And I know we don't always embrace it as a nation. We are sometimes afraid of things that are different than us and people that are different than us. I still believe we can learn from those people who are different from us, though, if we try. And so that's kind of the place where I'm in. I want to learn from it. I don't want everything that we're going through as a nation right now to be a waste. But I also can't wallow in it. There are times when it threatens to just drag me down and make me, I feel so listless sometimes, just kind of watching and listening. It's hard to get out of that sadness, right? Hard to get out of that heaviness. And so this is my attempt, as always, my radio show is my attempt to do what I can to provide you a distraction, to provide an alternative to talk and to hang out and to maybe laugh a little bit. I did spend some time on the phone with Amazon on Monday, and I think we got to the bottom of the package mystery. the mystery gifts that are showing up on my doorstep. Although the lady didn't really have an answer, but she at least figured out what was happening. She doesn't know why it was happening, but she knows what was happening. And so I also want to hear from you and look forward to hearing from you. Again, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, we will have the latest proposal. This is, it's getting comical now. The latest proposal from the owners to counter the players. Yikes. And the options for the NBA. And they will be voting coming up on Thursday. So we'll set the scene for you a little bit. Glad to have you on board. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. I look forward to hearing from you on social media as well. It's weird because I keep thinking at some point it will feel more comfortable. So like the old comfortable pair of slippers that we put on and they just feel like home. But the last 3 months, nothing's really felt all that comfortable. We're all displaced or out of our regular routine. Some of us are not working. Some of us are doing different jobs than we were supposed to. It just doesn't feel comfortable in many cases. And I keep thinking, okay, the worst is behind us. And then something else happens, right? But 5 months into 2020, all of us has had one ray of light. All of us has had one thing to celebrate. All of us has had one day in which there's been joy, something we're thankful for. So what's the best thing that's happened to you in 2020? We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. All right, we'll dive in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
What is the best thing to happen to you in 2020? I know it's been difficult, and I know there are challenges that we really didn't anticipate, both this past weekend and through the course of the last several months. Even if the virus itself didn't specifically touch you, the impacts definitely did. But I have to find the hope, and I'm looking for the rays of light and the hope, and I think by sharing whether you're reading through the posts on our social media, Dave is retweeting as he's running our social media account. So you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, as you share the positives, the best thing that happened to you in 2020 so far. He'll retweet those. And also, I know many of you go to our Facebook page and read the threads that other people, have posted and have put up and, that makes me happy, too, that many of you encourage others in the After Hours community. Is that weird? That might sound weird. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. But I'm even now looking at our Facebook page and seeing one or two that I absolutely love. But this is from Dale. My wife, Robin, was diagnosed with breast cancer in early October after several months of treatments, and she had surgery Friday. She is now cancer-free. Amen. That is amazing. See, that makes me want to cry happy tears of joy. And so it's those types of replies and comments that I know will encourage other people. If you go and read them, I think they'll encourage you too. So please check them out and post your own best moment of 2020 or best piece of 2020 so far. I know we can smile over these things. I know it. Let's talk to DeAndre, who's in Cleveland. DeAndre, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it very much, and I love your content. One of the best things that's happened to me this year is that I successfully passed truck driving school, earned my CDL license.
Nice.
I drive those double trailers out here, and I listen to you every night for the last few months, so I really appreciate it. But it's just a glorious thing to be able to connect and feel your passion through the radio. And so thank you for that. I appreciate what you do.
That's awesome. Now, do you always drive at night? So you always have to, I was going to say you always have to listen, but do you always drive at night?
Yep. And you're part of my routine. So it's like, I got to lock you in because these roads get kind of lonely out here. So I always appreciate the perspective that you share with us.
Oh, well, I hope sometimes I get you yelling at the radio, too. That will also keep you awake. But thank you so much for calling, and congratulations. Right. That's a major accomplishment.
Thank you very much.
Oh, Good to talk to you, Giandre. I think we lost you there at the end, but that's awesome. I celebrate with people who are working or seeing milestones in work right now. I don't know that – I mean, I've never taken it for granted because of how hard I had to get – you know, how hard it to work to get to this point. But I know very often work is just work for a lot of us, right? The mundane, the routine, we should never take it for granted because it can be here today and gone tomorrow. And I know that's something I learned earlier in my career when I was fired multiple times and, you know, just, the things that you think are untouchable or that you just, you ignore on a regular basis. And then all of a sudden it's gone and you think, man, I'll never take that for granted again. And that's always a positive of being in a space where things get really difficult is that you learn to appreciate the little things, the small blessings, the tiny daily reasons to smile. And so I hope that I am taking that out of this spring, and I hope that many of us can too. So find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Really quickly, let me give you the latest from Major League Baseball. The owners are countering with their own proposal. It sounds like they don't believe the players are going to budge. Okay, so they have come to a point where they think the players' union is unified enough that it is not going to budge on pay cuts. So they're back to the prorated salaries. Okay, so you know the timeline here because we've talked about it, or if you're just joining us. In March, the Players Association, the union, essentially, and the owners agreed on a prorated salary structure, meaning however many games were played, the athletes would only get paid for the games they actually played. So recognizing they probably wouldn't play 162 games this year, the players agreed. Now, they call it a pay cut. I don't think it's a pay cut. I think you're getting paid your regular salary per game. So it's divvied up per game, and you're getting a prorated salary. Why should you get paid for games you don't play? That doesn't make any sense to me anyway. But the union agreed to that in March. They thought that was it, that there would be no more negotiating on salaries. Of course, the owners then tried to offer a 50-50 split of revenue. Union said negative, Ghost Rider. The owners then countered with a sliding scale for pay cuts. The Players Union has resisted that as well. But the one trump card, and I've said this over and over, the one area where the owners have leverage is that they can designate how many games are played. They believe that agreement in March gave them the power to decide how many games there are in the season. I know you know where I'm going with this. Baseball owners are now saying, fine, if we have to pay you per game, then wait for it. We're not going to play nearly as many games. It's just their own way of getting around this really powerful players union. So the owners are now saying, well, great. At least we've come to an agreement. We'll pay you for the games you play, but we're only going to play 50 games. 50. We've gone from 162 to potentially 82 to the players asking for 110. And the owner's saying, nope, not even half of that number. Oi, 50 games? 50? How is there any way we don't have a giant asterisk on this baseball season? I would have been okay with them playing 82, 100, 50. So baseball is now looking at a schedule of 50 games that would start in July. They believe this is a last resort, but that's where they are in negotiations, that the players are not budging on the salaries, they're not budging on the money, and that because they're not going to get the players to agree to pay cuts like the rest of the United States of America, that a 50-game schedule would pay the players about 31% of what they're owed. All right, so prorated salaries, but fewer games. That's how the owners are paying them less money, because they're playing fewer games. And again, the owners believe that the commissioner has the right to set the number of games. So they don't actually have to get an agreement from the union. And because the owners hire Rob Manfred, he's essentially their CEO, they pay him. I mean, he works for them. It's like Commissioner Roger Goodell. He's not autonomous. He answers to the owners. They're the ones who gave him the job. Rob Manfred is essentially the CEO of the baseball ownership. So the owners know that with Commissioner Rob Manfred, they'll get the number of games that they want, roughly the number of games that they want. He can't go against them, in other words. So the players wanted more games, and they wanted all their money. And now the owners are playing this last card that they believe gives them a way to pay out less. Okay, so they think they're going to lose at least 40% of the revenue. We're talking roughly $4 billion if that number holds true. So in order to pay out less to the players when they're making less money, they're going to shorten the season even further if their plan goes through. And you can imagine the players would be ticked by that, not only because of the money, but because they would like to play more games. Here's another piece of it, and then we'll welcome in Bob Uecker. Another piece of it that I read is that the owners are nervous that if they played 82-game schedule or 110 games, let's just say they play a longer schedule, and there's a second wave of the virus in the fall, maybe even early winter, that their postseason will get canceled. So that, say there's an outbreak or the numbers spike in some places, and the powers that be deem that it's better to cancel the postseason and not crown a champion. A lot of the money that they make comes from the postseason. And so they want to play this 50-game schedule and get to the playoffs, maybe even earlier than October. But they want to get to the postseason, make sure that they have the playoffs, because they can't afford to have it canceled. So they're saying fewer regular season games, definitely play the postseason, and that way we can maximize our revenue and our earnings power. It's just, it's all about the money, obviously, but this is the little trump card they believe they have, is that they can set the number of games. Fine, you won't take less money, you won't take pay cuts. Well, then we'll play fewer games. It's just ew. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Bob Uecker is with us from his super secret home base. And Bob, it's always good to talk to you. And I know you're good on the spot, so I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here. We're asking our listeners, as we've now put 5 months of 2020 behind us, what's the best thing to happen to you in this year of 2020?
Well, that actually is an easy one, and it's personal, but I think a lot of people would go down this personal route.
Yes.
My third grandchild was born almost a Valentine's Day baby. She was born on February 13th. So what happened is she was born in time for me to actually get down to where my family lives. My son and daughter-in-law and their family lives in, they live in Maryland. Mm-hmm. And I was able to get down there just before the pandemic made it probably something I wouldn't have been able to do even a week or two later, because people were becoming very concerned.
Yes.
So, and since then, it's been all Facebook stuff, which was great. You know, I mean, and you need that, you know, you need that connection any way you can get it. But I was able to get down there, see the newborn for a couple of days.
Aww.
And also, if I can just elaborate a little bit more in line with your question, is that it was the first time that I was able to actually have quality time with the oldest grandchild, another girl.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to make myself useful. You know, you go down there and you've got a newborn there, and okay, what can I do to help? Well, in this case, I said, you know what? And I'll take out Tabitha, is her name, to the Maryland Science Center in Baltimore. So just she and I.
That's awesome.
We got in the car and we spent all day there. We closed the place. Then we walked around the Inner Harbor. And, you know, I spent plenty of time with them all before. There's also a two-year-old boy. But this was the first time it was like one-on-one. And we talked a lot. We had real conversations. And, you know, anything she wanted to buy, I bought her. And it was so – there was a nice daily double there. I got to spend quality time with the older one. The newborn I got to see. And then, of course, the pandemic hit. And I have no idea when – it'll be, right, you know, comfortably safe to go back down there. But I do have that memory of February 2020, and I'm holding on to it, Amy.
No, I got you. That's awesome. I was able to see my mom right before really travel started to shut down. I haven't been able to see any family since then, but I know how valuable that can be to get you through. So, well, congratulations on that. That's amazing. And thank you for sharing that with us. And that does absolutely put a smile on my face.
You bet. No, thanks for the opportunity. It's a nice thought that you come up with during some pretty challenging and difficult times.
Looking for some hope. I got to hold on to the hope. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
On 3-2, Suero set, the runners go, and Turner with a fly ball to left field. That one is well hit. On its way, and it is gone! A home run! Justin Turner, a 3-run home run! A 7-run six!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I miss baseball. I miss Charlie Steiner. I miss play-by-play. He is the voice of the Dodgers radio network, and I miss my soundtrack of summer. This is what I love about the summertime when the pace theoretically slows down. Now, here we are early June. We would typically be going into the NBA finals, the Stanley Cup final. We'd probably already be into, depending on the dates that they set, but we'd be going into this portion of the year where we crown champions in both hoops and hockey. And doesn't appear as though we're going to have hoops or hockey until August at the earliest. Now, I prefer having them back to crown champions as opposed to not having them back to crown champions. Some of you saying that it's you think they just cancel the rest of the season. What's the big deal? But I disagree with that. These athletes have worked really hard and do have opportunities in front of them. And nearly unanimously, they all want to play. And if there are guys who don't want to play, they can sit out if they feel as though the risk is too high. But for the most part, what we're getting from the superstars in the NBA and from hockey as a community is we want to play. We want to finish the season. I'm not feeling that same vibe from Major League Baseball, but then you see them get on the field and get together for these kind of loosey-goosey workouts, the Rays being a great example, and they're all smiles and they're all excited and they want to get back. It's just the business of the sport is clouding the joy and the excitement of doing what they love. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So what is the best thing to happen to you in 2020? I know that there are positives. As I mentioned, I am now a homeowner, have my own little plot of land with my own little house. And it is little, but I love it. And it's something I worked for years to save and to plan and to search and to work toward this goal. It's been extremely satisfying to now start the moving process, but to see it all come together. It wasn't easy, but I'll never forget 2020. I certainly never forget what happened in 2020 while I was signing the papers and wearing a mask. I'll never forget it. It's unique. But it can't take away from the joy that I have at now being a homeowner for the first time. So what's the best thing to happen to you in 2020? A lot of you are sending some really cool responses on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our show Twitter. We're retweeting those, which is really cool. We can share those with you. And then also on our Facebook page. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS, and it's sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. 855-212-4227. Gary is listening in California. Gary, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you, Amy. First of all, I think probably the happiest thing of late for me is hearing that you closed your house. I think that's wonderful.
Oh, well, that's sweet. Thank you for being happy for me. And
the nice thing that happened to me was that after having a surgery postponed for 3 months because our hospitals were closed because of COVID, I was able to have a successful surgery, and I'm back home and healing well.
Oh, good.
But I really called you just for two things. First of all, I've been listening to you since you began. I love your show. You're a wordsmith, so everything you say is very easy to listen to and to understand because you use the correct words. And so it's wonderful to listen to you. But I just wanted to put something out and just get your opinion on it, because this thing has been going on, well, forever. But I have one suggestion that may be able to correct it. And I have no one that I could go to, and I thought if I said it to you, maybe someone out there would hear it that could do something about it. But I feel strongly that if a federal law could be made that every single police station, a policeman makes one valid brutality or one valid racist comment, and he's fired. Not only is he fired, but his name's put in a national registry, so he can't go to another town and become a policeman. And then if they're a policeman, they don't do anything about it, they're suspended, and the next time it happens, they're fired, or if they do it. But no tolerance for this. And I feel strongly about that, but I don't even know who to talk to or how to get that idea out there. But
gosh, I don't either.
If they knew they were going to get fired after doing it once, I really don't think they would do it very often. If they really knew for sure they were going to get fired.
Well, I mean, yes, in theory, there should be a no tolerance policy, right? I agree with you. There should be no tolerance for that among the people who are hired to protect and serve the communities. And it's intolerable. And the fact that it has resulted in murder and in deaths is so unconscionable that it's even hard for me to wrap my brain around. At the same time, I know you're not saying that all law enforcement is racist. I truly believe that isn't an issue for the majority of them. I think it's been really amazing to see some of them, law enforcement, I'm speaking of, kneel down and take a knee and protest and walk with protesters, even, you know, take photos with protesters. Kind of funny to see some of them taking selfies. They're all dressed up in, you know, SWAT gear, and they're taking selfies with different protesters. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to get out from underneath those stereotypes. But stereotypes are the very source of discrimination and the source of racism. And you can never group all people and all careers, all colors into, you know, one big category and say they're all this or they're all that, because it's just not true. But it's very true that the actions of one or two, the actions of a dozen or, you know, a couple dozen can really ruin or smear, you know, the profession itself. And there should be no tolerance for it. It should never happen. And I do believe that you know, the majority of people are somewhere in the middle. They're not at the extremes in our nation, but you know, we tend to gravitate toward the extremes, and that's what gets a lot of attention. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. When our caller said that I'm a wordsmith and I always say the right things, I couldn't help but think of how I ended a show last week when I said, I'm such an idiot. When I said, let's see what other suits follow sport, I obviously meant to say, let's see what other sports follow suit. But because we're up against a clock, I literally had 8 seconds left and I couldn't go back and fix it. So I just had to let it sit. It had to ride. Oh, goodness. And so I couldn't correct it. Well, I did tweet about it, but I couldn't correct it till the next day. And then Dave was playing the audio again and again. So it was kind of funny. Let's see. Latest in Major League Baseball. Owners mulling now. I love that word, mull. The owners are mulling over an even shorter season because then they would pay the players even less money if they have to pay them prorated salaries. Our friend, longtime Marlins president, David Sampson, on CBS Sports HQ, navigating this back and forth.
It was good to see the players' union give a proposal back to the owners. However, this was a first proposal, and it's really as big a non-starter for the owners as the proposal the owners made to the players about a week ago. Of course, the players want more games. We understand that. They understand that. But the players did not give on the most important part or even start the process of giving, which is understanding that they'll have to take some sort of pay cut. So that was completely missing from the proposal. Don't look at the red herring about the expanded playoffs. That's something that there's going to be no arguing about. And the reason it's 2 years is that gets us until the next collective bargain agreement would have to start.
So he's essentially throwing the whole thing out, the baby and bathwater, because he's saying the two sides are so far apart that neither of these proposals should really be taken seriously. Well, if you believe some of the other reports that are out there, Buster Olney, a great baseball reporter, he actually says there is a group of owners that are willing to do almost the unthinkable, which is scrap the entire season so that they don't take these big losses and they can save the money. There are different owners that are in different positions. Now, they're all in great financial standing compared to you and I. But yeah, there are guys out there, owners out there, are thinking maybe it's just better to scrap the whole thing and not bother, which, gosh, would be so tragic. I don't think baseball would ever get over that. What's the best thing to happen to you in 2020? I know there are positives. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're glad to have you on board here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.